Welcome to Recruiting Daily's Use Case Podcast, a show dedicated to the storytelling that happens
or should happen
when practitioners purchase technology. Each episode is designed to inspire new ways and ideas to make your business better as we speak with the brightest minds in recruitment and HR tech. That's what we do. Here's your host, William Tincup.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is William Tincup, and you are listening to the Use Case Podcast. Today we have Amanda on from CoderPad, and we'll be talking about the use case of the business case that her customers use, the prospects use, for the purchase of CoderPad. So without any further ado, Amanda, would you do us, the audience, myself, a favor and introduce both yourself and CoderPad?
Sure thing. Thank you, William, for having me. I'm Amanda Richardson. I'm the CEO of CoderPad, and we are the leading platform for assessing and interviewing technical talent. So if you are hiring developers within your company, and that doesn't mean you're a software company, as all companies are really hiring developers at this point, it seems, we are the platform to help you find, to understand who the best talent is that you're interviewing.
So assessing and testing. So for folks that are non-technical, there's kind of a breadth and depth to all kinds of technical skills, right? So if someone says they're a Java developer, that could mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people. And so how does one, either the recruiter or the hiring manager, how do they calibrate what exactly they need?
Yeah, I mean, this is what our tool is set out to do. So we have worked to build a question bank library on our assessment platform of over 3,000 questions to help you as the either the hiring manager or the recruiter understand who in this pool of candidates can actually has the proficiency you need or has the particular area of expertise that you need. I mean, to your point, William, on, you know, I'm a Java developer. I have 5 years of experience. That doesn't really actually say much. You know, it's kind of like if you were interviewing a salesperson, I did sales for 5 years. Well, were you any good? Like, how do I know? And that's what our assessment platform sets out to do. So that product is called Coding Game. And then once the candidate, once you kind of assess your pool and say, these are the, you know, 10 people, 20 people, 50 people, whatever it is that you want to pass through to the interview process, you then use the CoderPad product for doing that live interview where you actually have the candidate pair with the hiring manager or the technical person on the interview panel to really understand, you know, not just can they code, but like, how do they think through problems? How do they collaborate? How do they do what they do every day? And so this is about, you know, working on a problem together. It's pair programming. The best way I can explain it is kind of like Google Docs for engineers, where they can work together, run code, debug, really in their most natural environment, understand like, how would you solve a problem? How would you, you know, add onto this code? How do you think about reviewing this code? Which are all things that are expected to be done in the day-to-day role of a developer, but are really hard to assess on like a phone call of, you know, like, so how do you debug code? It's much easier to actually just give them code, pair together, and watch the person debug. So that's what we do.
How do we get technical people that have been in scarcity for, you know, ever, and will be in scarcity for, or at least our natural lives, how do we get them to take tests? The assessment part, I can kind of see some of the softer stuff, it being relatively easy for them. But I've also seen and heard it's harder to get some of the more senior technical people, more sought after, I guess, for them to like stop down and take a test.
Yeah, I think,
have you seen the same stuff or am I imagining this?
No, there's a little bit of that. I would say that like all candidates, and particularly, I mean, to your point, like there is a shortage of developers out there, and the demand for developers is growing faster than the universities and boot camps and self-taught programs are producing them. So we definitely know that this will continue to be a problem. But I think part of the reason that, you know, you hear developers don't want to take tests is because so many of the tests out there are so bad or so irrelevant. I mean, it's true. It's so irrelevant, right? It's like,
no, I'm laughing because I agree.
I mean, like, you know, and so, you know, we are a team of developers who have spent a lot of time thinking about how we can quickly and easily assess them, assess someone's skills. You know, for the asynchronous assessment, we gamify it to make it a little more interesting for the engineer. And, you know, maybe that's just a little moment of delight. And when you really do kind of have to prove your skills, we try to keep them as short and as brief as possible, aiming for 45 minutes per assessment. And then I think for some of the candidates who really don't want to do the asynchronous assessment, which tends to be a more senior experienced engineer, and, you know, maybe that's appropriate for your process, you dump them right into the live interview. But I would say that overwhelmingly, the candidates tell us that if they want to be assessed on their skills, they want to see what it's like to work with the employer, right? Like, what is the senior engineer? What are the problems I'm going to work on? What's it like to work there? One of our VPs of engineering has this horror story about how he went through a technical interview, and 3/4 of the way through, I guess he had gotten it wrong. The engineer said, "That's enough," stood up, walked out of the room. 3 minutes later, the recruiter came in and escorted him out, right? Like, he's never going to buy that product. Yeah. So it's really about creating a good candidate experience and explaining to the engineers, like, giving them an interview that's relevant to what they would work on. Like, why do you want to work on this list sort? Like, maybe this is, you know, a particular sorting problem that's different for Waymo than it is for Instacart, right? Like, Waymo needs to find routing, but Instacart's trying to, like, organize a page of fruits or whatever it is. And so just giving them a real sense of what the problems are that they're going to work on and what their day-to-day life is like is the best you can do. And that way it's a bi-directional interview. So when you hear the engineers say, "I don't want to do a test, I won't do an assessment," I think part of it is because they think the questions are irrelevant, or there's nothing in it for them. And if, as interviewers and as hiring managers and as HR teams, we do the extra work to say, "Hey, this is bi-directional. What is the candidate going to get out of this 45-minute interview?" We'll go a long way in making sure it's more meaningful. And then it won't be this, like, "I don't want to do it" reaction. There's actually a benefit for the candidate.
Yeah, I think that's, first of all, I think you nailed it. If they see a benefit for them, then they'll want to do it. I mean, they'll see it as a, not just about the job. They'll see it about, well, let me see where I rank. Let me see where I score.
Yeah. Well, and just not fun. Even just ranking, like, where can I improve? Where can I do better? Yep. Right. Like, we all hate the interview process where at the end they're like, "Sorry, it's not a good fit." And you say, "Well, is there any feedback that you can share?" And the company always says, Nope. "We're afraid you're going to sue us, so we don't tell you anything," which is terrible, but true. And so it built into our, you know, the upfront assessment product, we send the results to the candidate too, not as on behalf of the company. We do that as the platform because we think that's a better candidate experience. And then for the live interviews, you know, we really encourage and work with our customers and partners. And we work with, you know, 3,800 different companies to really craft those questions to be about meaningful work that someone would do on the job. And maybe they do great in the interview, but they're like, "You know what? I just really am not excited about this language, this technology, this problem we're solving. Like, I don't know. I don't care about self-driving cars. I don't really want to get excited about it," or whatever it is, you know? I think it's an opportunity for the candidate to also feel what it's like. And only by personalizing it and making it really relevant to the job at hand will both sides know if it's a match.
So the job description itself, you and I were joking before the call about hiring managers and recruiters, and, you know, Venus and Mars, I guess, would be an easy way to kind of explain that. But syncing up around the job description, around what the recruiter is supposed to bring back, to the hiring manager, a slate of candidates, hopefully a diverse and inclusive slate of candidates, et cetera. How do they know which, you know, assessments and tests within CoderPad, how do they know which ones they should be using? So when someone says a senior, you know, I'm picking on Java just for fun at this point, but if they say a senior Java developer, okay, well, what is that? How do they calibrate what assessments and what tests that they should actually use?
Yeah, this is where our products really shine, because the Code and Game product specifically has, as a recruiter, you go in, you start a campaign, and it says, you know, you would say Java engineer specifically, and it would say new, junior, or senior. And we will prepackage this for you.
Oh, cool.
And then our best advice to every recruiter, sourcer, is give this to as many candidates as you can. Like, I continue to be amazed at the number of candidates who you just on paper don't look right, but just crush it. And they just have deep knowledge and deep experience that maybe isn't seen. Maybe their company had, you know, crazy job titles like IC4 or whatever, mm-hmm. you know, all these FANG companies have different, you know, names that mean nothing to the rest of us around what they actually did. And so, you know, I've had candidates, you know, hiring specifically engineers for CoderPad, where we got a resume and we just sent them the assessment and said, show us what you got. And she crushed it. She absolutely knocked it out of the park in a way that if you looked at her resume, it never would have been a fit, but she proved her skills. And I think to your point, not only did that help us like find more candidates, which is the biggest problem everybody probably listening to this will tell you about, but also that second problem brought in a more diverse group, right? Like mm-hmm. she didn't have the logos. She didn't have the engineering degree from whatever the master's in, you know, computer science that some hiring manager somewhere told you was like the must have experience. And so I think the tool we can provide to recruiters is to say, give this to everybody, right? Like for every resume you get, so long as they meet some sort of minimum standard, whatever that is, it's just usually like some geography or something like that, like give everybody the assessment and you'll be surprised how many people are in your pool you probably would have looked past because of either bias in the process. That doesn't necessarily have to be like a gender or cultural bias. It may just be like, I'm only hiring engineers who've worked at Google or Facebook, or right. I only want people with CS degrees. I mean, the founder of the Coding Game product was a self-taught engineer. He grew up on weekends gaming and building his own computers. And that's where he learned to code and did it all himself. Came out of high school, you know, had a mediocre high school run like many of us did, went to get a job. No one would hire him because they said, look, you don't have the resume. So he kind of forced his way into university, went to university for a couple years. At the end of that, realized he hadn't learned anything, but because of that experience, they all suddenly were going to hire him. And he's like, this is so stupid. We need a better product and a better way for recruiters to understand who talent is. I wasted 4 years at university, not learning anything, running up debt when I really could have done this job 4 years ago. And you could have hired me much cheaper, by the way. And so like, we really are working to level that playing field to find the talent that's out there, then not have to worry about finding the person who has the perfect resume that actually is not even the right resume.
Yeah. And of course you nailed it. It scratches off a bunch of the hidden biases and preferences that we have that most of them are mythological. And they just absolutely kind of happen through time. And like, these are the 10 business schools or the 10 engineering schools that we recruit from. It's like, well, why is that? And so I love the idea of just giving people a chance. They take the test, they take the assessment. They either know it or they don't. And I'm sure right. there's all kind of fail safes around cheating and, you know, all that other stuff. So like, you either know it or you don't.
And I think what we see so often is like, yeah, people, it's not like you have a number of people who are all at like the 50th percentile or whatever it is. Overwhelmingly, you'll see people will cluster as know it or don't, to your point. Like, so let's just move forward with those who know it, right? You may end up doubling or tripling your candidate pipeline because you've created a skills-based step as opposed to a resume-based step.
Right.
And you're saving yourself the time, right? You don't have to do all the calls with everybody. I mean, certainly for the hot candidates, you're going to have to like, you know, you want to give them a good candidate experience and all of that. But I'm saying like, you can end up putting a lot more people through your pipeline because you're not throttling yourself at the top with artificial constraints.
So three things left, and they're all going to be fun things. So we'll go through them fast. One is favorite buying questions. Like questions that you love from hiring managers, recruiters, sourcers, anybody in HR. When you hear the questions, you're like, oh, yes.
Well, we were laughing about this a little bit beforehand. I mean, I think the number one question that, you know, recruiters will ask us is like, what is it you guys do? Everyone in engineering tells me I have to buy you, but I don't really understand what it is. So that's my favorite question. But I think the other questions that are often great for us are when people say, hey, look, I don't really know how to get my candidates through the pipeline, right? Like they're having a time to hire or a response rate problem, you know, overwhelming our Coding Game assessment product has a completion rate that is second to none. We have 95% completion rate start to finish relative to our competitors who have 60 to 80%. Like that alone is expanding your funnel. And then the other problems are around, time to assess, or I can't bring people into the office because now with COVID, or it just takes so long to get things set up. The beauty is CoderPad is just one link. You click, you're in, you're coding immediately. You don't have to figure out the product. So those are the problems that when I talk to a recruiter and they're like, oh man, we just can't get enough people through the pipeline, or it takes too long, or our cost per hire is too high. I'm like, oh, we've got that. These are all the things. And then the other thing I love to hear is when people ask us, what is our advice or what is it that we're doing? We work with all the FANG companies. We're the platform of choice. And so, what is it that others are doing in this space? And what is our advice? Because I think so often, it's really easy to look at all software vendors as the same. But at the end of the day, we're humans. We are humans who hire developers. We are developers who care about these problems, who think about this. So when you want to engage with us, we have so many channels to be available to help you customize your questions, think about your interview process, really want to talk about best practices. This is what we get excited to do. We want to be easy to work with. We want to be easy to try. You can jump in on the website, do a trial, whatever. You don't even need to talk to a salesperson to buy. Let's try to be easy. But we really love it when you want to know how to do this best, because that's what we care about. That's what we think about all day long.
I love it. Your favorite part of the demo? When you get to show on the occasion that you, and I know it's like asking your favorite child, but when you get to show, CoderPad to people for the first time, whoever it is, what's your favorite part?
They are all my favorite children.
I love all of them equally.
I love all of them equally, but probably the one that I love right now. So we have a feature we call Focus Time. So on our CoderPad live interview product, the developer and the candidate and the interviewer come in, and they have this blank screen oftentimes. And so the interviewer will put up a question, maybe it's a snippet of code, maybe it's, directions on what to do. And then we have this button you can push called Focus Time, which gives the candidates 5 minutes where you as the interviewer can't necessarily see what they type and you can't see their face. And it gives the candidate 5 minutes to gather their thoughts and just get started. And so we built this after consulting with a gentleman who does research in technical recruiting at NC State. So he's doing his PhD and all of his research on technical recruiting. And what he found was just by having candidates be watched doing an interview, mm-hmm. the pass rate of women went from 6 out of 8 to 0 out of 8.
Yep.
And the only variable was just being watched. That's and right. So Focus Time to me is the way for candidates to just jump in, get started, feel comfortable making mistakes, right? No one wants, you don't even want to watch me type an email, let alone write some code, right? It's just very nerve-wracking. And so giving the candidates that space improves candidate performance. Frankly, it also gives the interviewer a couple minutes to get their act together and figure out what they're going to talk through and get a little organized and show up well. And so that is my favorite product or my favorite features to show off Focus Time.
Well, I love that. I mean, the story about women is probably true of a lot of people that are, they're thinking about a lot of other things. And it's like you said, no one wants to see you, write an email, like a text message for me. How many times do I use Grammarly? I'll misspell stuff on purpose just so Grammarly will pick it up so that I don't even have to think about how to spell it. So that's how lazy is that? I don't want anybody to see that.
I'm of the generation who can't write anything without the red squiggly line. I literally have no idea how to spell anything. So I am grateful for things like this. But then again, that's also what we're trying to do is give people the space and the native tools between auto completion and everything to just make it feel like they're kind of doing their best work as opposed to being quizzed on spelling or autocomplete or whatever the language packages are.
Well, and it's also, it gets you away as a recruiter, it gets you away from thinking about things that aren't important. The fact that they misspelt a word, and in coding, they had to start over 3 times. Well, you know what? So what?
I mean, that's what we all do, right? You want someone who learns iteratively. That is the coding process. You start, you write a little bit, you run, you debug, you run, you debug, you build on the language, right? No developer sits down and writes 22,000 lines of code and then hits run and it works. That is not our world. So finding the way to recreate and give them a way to be comfortable and but not also be stared at, right? There's nothing worse than someone staring at your work. It's awful.
Why'd you do that? What are you doing?
Yeah, you're like, I didn't mean to do that. It's a typo. I'm sorry. I'll hit run and we'll find it. Everybody chill out, giving everybody a little bit of space and a little bit of, natural environment to do their best work.
I love that. Well, I love that on a lot of levels. But last thing is, and again, your favorite children, your favorite customer innovation story. And again, no names. Don't need names. But just sort of somewhere where a customer has used CoderPad, and you're like, wow, that's cool.
Yeah. So no names. But a large company in the Bay Area here, very large tech company, uses us not just for interviewing. We are the platform of choice for their interviewing, but they also use us for collaborative work. So that's a big company. So it's a big campus. So there's buildings are everywhere, right? And like the person who knows this particular piece of code may not be in the building or even in the room. And so what they will do when they get stuck is they will, you know, you message the person and then you spin up a CoderPad and you drop the code in and you pair together to solve the problem or teach new code pieces or really learn how something works to move the project forward. So it's, again, it's CoderPad is this like paired experience, but rather than assessing talent, they use it for, you know, educating, debugging, like really bringing someone new into a project. And so it's much more of a collaboration tool, which I just love because, I mean, we want to build a product that feels, again, natural and like you want, like it's valuable. And so if there are use cases beyond just interviewing, it just like makes my heart warm.
Oh, that's fantastic. And I think now that people know that you have that as a use case or case study, then other people will see the benefits as well. If it works on the front end in talent acquisition, you can see it working in internal mobility. You can see it working in collaboration and other places. They just need to be able to trust it and use it. I think, you know, you got to get started somewhere. So they use it in recruiting, which is great. But after they use it in recruiting, then don't stop there. So
absolutely. Yeah.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Amanda. I absolutely love what you built. It's wonderful.
Well, thank you. I mean, we're really proud of it. You know, we work really hard. We obsess over technical recruiting and trying to make it a more diverse and inclusive community overall. And so we think recruiting is a place to start. And so I'm excited to work more on it and think about it. And if anybody wants to talk more about it, reach out anytime. I'd love to hear from you.
100%. Thanks for everyone listening to the Use Case Podcast. Until next time.
You've been listening to Recruiting Daily's Use Case Podcast. Be sure to subscribe on your favorite platform and hit us up at recruitingdaily.com.